Welcome to this virtual service at Westchester Chapel. Thanks for listening to this message that comes directly from God's Word. To hear more, visit westchesterchapel.org and click on Media. Now grab your Bible as we dig into it together.
Well, good morning. So as we get started here, I'm going to pray for us again. Father, we just come and we thank you and praise you that we can gather this morning. Lord, thank you that you are here with us, that you enable our worship. Lord, thank you for the time of communion and remembrance. Thank you for the testimonies of how you moved and brought your salvation in people's lives, for the ways that you have revealed your story, the story of your salvation anew to your people. And thank you for your word. As we come to hear the word this morning, Lord, I just ask that you would be with us. That you would open our ears to hear, that you would open our eyes to see, that you would open our hearts to understand and to receive. And Lord, I ask that you would be with me as I declare your word. Lord, that it would be only what you would have me to say and not what I would have me to say. We just ask these things in your name. Amen. So I had the privilege last week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, March 7th through the 9th, 2024, to gather with more than 500 women across five denominations in Dallas, Texas, for the Wesleyan Holiness Women's Clergy Conference. Don't recommend saying that really fast. The Wesleyan Holiness Women's Clergy Conference. And it was an incredible time of very powerful worship and the word and fellowship with women clergy and leaders from across the United States and Canada. I had the privilege of being adopted by some Canadians on my first night there. And although I met up with other women from the New York Metro District, from our area, from our denomination, I traveled on my own. So I had the chance to connect with women from all over the place. And I got to hear their stories. That was the fun part, because I was kind of on my own, just kind of walking around. I got to talk to all kinds of people and hear their stories and to tell mine. At the Church of the Nazarene denominational luncheon, the leaders of our denomination made space for us to share the stories of our calling to ministry with one another. As women went around their tables, we were at these round tables, as we met around these tables and shared our stories with one another, that each one recounted how they knew God's voice and his calling on their lives, but also how it was affirmed by other people. They named the others who recognized the movement of God in their lives. And they called it out. At that lunch, we recognized and celebrated our individual callings as women of the word. And it was a really powerful time. This morning, we continue our series, A Prophet's Life, Lessons Learned from Those Called to Communicate God's Truth. And we're going to be looking at the story of two women, Mary and Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's proclamation to Mary. So 2 weeks ago, because Pastor Randy was very gracious and Pastor Linda was very gracious, and they were willing to move things around so that I could go to the conference. But that means the message moved. So 2 weeks ago, a little out of order, we looked with Pastor Jim, we looked at Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel and the angel's announcement that she would bear a son, Jesus, in Luke 1. Verses 26 to 38, and at Mary's response to this pronouncement in Luke 1, 46 to 55 in her song of praise. This morning, we're going to be looking at the place where Mary and Elizabeth's stories intersect, where they come together. And it's tucked right in the middle of those two passages, right in the middle of those two, starting at verse 39. But before we look at today's passage, I want us to look at what was happening just prior to where we pick up, because it's actually going to inform a little bit of what we're going to look at today. So Mary had been visited by the angel Gabriel, who says that she has favor with God and will bear a son, Jesus, who will be called Son of the Most High, and he will reign. Not surprisingly, it is a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in. And she has questions, namely, how? Gabriel responds to her question saying, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called Son of God." And it goes on in verse 36 to say, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Mary receives a lot of information. And amid that, Mary also learns that her relative, Elizabeth, who was barren and unable to conceive, is pregnant and in her sixth month. So our text this morning begins at verse 39, where it says this: "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth." Another translation says, "She went into the hill country with haste." And my first question when I was looking at this passage, when I was working on the exegesis, was, why was she in such a hurry? Why was she in such a hurry? Mary had learned that God was calling her to bear the Messiah, the King. And she humbled herself and received God's calling for her, responding, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me." But she had also been given a sign of what God was doing in Elizabeth's life. And so she moves with haste. She hurries to confirm what the angel had declared about Elizabeth, that she was, in fact, pregnant. It also is worth noting that the text says that Elizabeth was 6 months along. At 6 months, there is no hiding a pregnancy. Or it's very rare. It is evident. Typically, a woman is showing by 6 months. So 6 months being mentioned is significant, because when Mary sees her, she'll know. But that's not the only way that we know, as we'll see in the text. So Mary rushes to Zechariah and Elizabeth's home in the hill country of Judea. And the journey would have taken 3 to 5 days, depending on where the house was. And it was very unlikely that Mary traveled alone. She probably joined a caravan traveling in that direction, because it would have not have been safe for her to travel alone. And when Mary arrives, she greets her older relative. Now, when I read this, I thought of being at my brother's house. So after I went to the conference, I had the privilege of going to Houston and visiting with my family. And so I was at my brother's house. When I read this story about Mary, like, greeting Elizabeth, I'm thinking the way I would went to my brother's house on Monday night, which is knock on the door, but then kind of pop your head in and be like, "Hey, I'm here." It's not like that. This was not that kind of greeting. Although Luke does not give us the content of Mary's greeting, this greeting would have been very important, actually, culturally. Elizabeth, being older than Mary, a daughter of Aaron, the wife of a priest, would have been properly greeted and blessed by Mary as she came into Elizabeth's home. But we don't have the contents of Mary's greeting. We have the contents of Elizabeth's. So let's look at verse 41. We see Elizabeth's response first by the narrator and then in Elizabeth's own words. It says, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is this child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.'" So Luke tells us in verse 41, Luke being the narrator, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb, baby John the Baptist, leaps. He moves in joy. He is excited. And Elizabeth herself is filled with the Holy Spirit. God is present in the moment. And something is happening. This moves from being a greeting to Elizabeth, from Mary, to God being present, the baby being joyful, and Elizabeth greeting Mary and declaring what God is doing in Mary's life. And Elizabeth proclaims this in a loud voice. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Elizabeth assumes and declares her own humility, blessing Mary and confirming what the angel Gabriel has declared in several ways. So the first, she said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Elizabeth confirms that Mary is going to have a baby. Second, who is that child? My Lord. He is declared my Lord. Mary was going to bear Jesus, Son of the Most High. And the first thing that happens when she runs into her cousin is that Elizabeth blesses her and the child she will bear, asking why she is favored that the mother would visit her. The third confirmation that we see is Elizabeth is pregnant. That's part of the confirmation too. That's part of what the angel Gabriel said is Elizabeth is pregnant. But there's something that happens to the baby when Elizabeth greets Mary. She recounts what literally happened in her body. So we get that story twice in the scripture. In this little tiny passage of a scripture, we get this twice. So it's very important that the baby leaped for joy when Elizabeth heard the sound of Mary's greeting. John the Baptist, even as his mother's womb, is declaring and preparing the way for Jesus. In this instance, by rejoicing. Elizabeth's initial greeting and blessing is to confirm what God is doing in Mary. His call on her life to bear the Savior of the world. When I first met Pastor Linda, it was not here at West, but at Alliance Theological Seminary in Nyack, New York, in a little cafeteria. We had been connected by Ken Blish at the district offices because I wanted to talk to a woman in ministry. Up to the point that I moved to New York and started at the seminary, I had actually never encountered a woman clergy. I had never actually talked to a woman who was in ministry declaring the word of the Lord. I had never seen it. And so I was at Alliance at that particular time. That denomination did not ordain, but I had some of these women as colleagues. But I wanted to talk to a Nazarene woman pastor. And as I approached Linda, one of the first things that she said to me was, "The Lord called you pastor." In Pastor Linda's very first encounter with me by the work of the Holy Spirit, she confirmed God's call in my life to pastoral ministry. That's part of what Elizabeth did. She confirmed what God's call was on Mary's life. But that's not the whole encounter. Let's look at verse 45. It says this. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. That word blessed is actually a different word in Greek than the word that was used in verse 42. When Elizabeth declares, blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. Not the same word. Same word in English, not the same word in Greek. The word used in verse 45 is the Greek word makairos. And it is the same word that we see in the Beatitudes for blessed. It is more like happy is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Elizabeth affirms Mary's faith. The first Beatitude that we see in the Bible in Luke is actually in this one. But Elizabeth affirms Mary's faith and her state as she believes what has been promised in the words spoken by the angel. Elizabeth and even John the Baptist from his mother's womb affirm God's call on Mary's life and the identity of her child. And Elizabeth recognizes her faith that Mary is believing God's promises. And it is after this encounter, after Mary has had this encounter that we just saw with Elizabeth, that she sings that beautiful song of praise to the Lord. We, followers of Jesus, living in the United States, live in a very individualistic context. Our faith is our own. Our walk with Jesus is our own. And it's why so many people think it is okay to worship on their own, to not be affiliated or connected to a church, to regularly attend a church. But we are called to be a communal people, a people in fellowship with God and with one another. We are called to worship with one another, to laugh with one another, to cry with one another, to help one another, to hear the word with one another, and to affirm the movement and call of God in one another's lives. There are moments when we need an Elizabeth in our lives to affirm and celebrate what God is doing. And there are moments when we are called to be somebody else's Elizabeth. To be the one that looks at someone else's life and affirms the call of God and calls out and rejoices and encourages faithfulness. That's something we do for each other. I mentioned one of the people that has called out my calling was Pastor Linda. But one of the encouragers in my life in this particular season is Pastor Jim. He is a very regular encourager. I'm going to embarrass both of our co-lead pastors today. Let's just, you know, both. So most often, it is by text. And he will reach out and he will remind me that he's proud of me. And he will tell me what he sees God doing in my life. Often in the moments that I need it the most. As we close this morning, the question is this. Are you willing to be somebody else's Elizabeth? Are you willing to proclaim and celebrate the movement of God in someone else's life? To rejoice with them in their faithfulness and growth and in what you see God doing in them? Are you willing for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to his presence and work in another person's life? That's our call today. Let me pray for us. Lord, the story of Mary and Elizabeth is one of amazing joy. This snapshot of Mary as she has a new call on her life to be the mother of the Messiah. The joy of a woman no longer having been barren with a baby who's leaping in her womb. The reminder in verses 39 and through 45 that when the angel Gabriel declared in verse 37, "For no word from God will ever fail," your word did not fail. We thank you for Elizabeth's humility, her joy, and her confident declaration over Mary, acknowledging your call on her life and your faithfulness, her willingness to be faithful. And we thank you for Jesus, Son of the Most High, our Messiah and our Savior. Lord, enable our humility and our willingness and our fellowship with one another. Enable our willingness to affirm your call and your movement in the lives of those in our faith community at Westchester Chapel and in the believers that we fellowship with and encounter along the way. Enable us to look for and to see what you are doing in the lives of others, to be Elizabeths, to be encouragers to one another. We ask this in your name. Amen. One little clarification. The examples in my life were, and the example I used at the beginning was I was at a conference with other women clergy, and I know that I have a calling to vocational ministry. don't think that the Lord isn't calling you to recognize where he's moving in somebody else's life. Even if that he's not calling them to vocational ministry, he may be still calling them to a role, to a change. He is still calling us. So you can still speak that into someone else's life if the Holy Spirit shows it to you. So don't hesitate, because you're like, wait, I'm looking for people in vocational ministry? That's not it, not necessarily. You're looking for what God is doing in somebody else's life. And you're looking to see where he is showing you that someone else is being faithful. Because let me just tell you, I know from my own experience, there are moments when you're walking and you're like, I'm walking because I want to follow, but it's hard right now. And that encouragement, that reminder from God through someone else that you are seen in that moment is critical. Mm-hmm. So don't hesitate to be that person if the Lord is prompting you. If you would stand if you are able and put out your hands. People of God, would you lift your hands to receive his blessing this day? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go out in God's peace and joy this day. Amen.
Thanks for listening. After hearing the message today, if you'd like to start a relationship with Jesus or rededicate your life to him, why not do it now? Pray with me right where you are. Lord Jesus, I turn from going my own way, and I choose to follow you. Forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross to cover them and rising again from the dead. I choose now to live for you, and I receive your life into mine. Amen. If you prayed with us, get in touch through our contact page at westchesterchapel.org. There you can find more information on how to grow in your faith and where we meet. We'd love to have you join us.